Cristina Belloni agreed to see me in her office in Campo Santo Stefano. An attractive, fashionably dressed brunette, she came right to the point. My client, Nicola Bernardi, received a summons from the public prosecutor for information relating to the suicide of Mario Stefani. The prosecutor told him it would be only an informal chat, but it turned out to be an interrogation. Nicola came here to my office right afterward, upset. He said they told him Mario Stefani had made him his sole heir. He had not the slightest idea about this bequest. But then they told him that the will was a photocopy and therefore not valid. So Nicola was shocked twice, first because there was a will and then because maybe it was worthless. I had to move quickly because I thought someone might have found the original will and destroyed it. It had been reported in the newspapers that a gift-wrapped package had been found on Mario's kitchen table. It had Nicola's phone number on it, and it was a birthday present for Nicola's daughter, Anna. So I immediately went to see the prosecutor and asked him if he had opened the package. He said no. I asked him if by chance he had thought the original copy of the will might be inside it. He said no. I insisted it be opened, and I warned him I would do everything a lawyer could do. I would petition the chief prosecutor to at least give the package to the person it was intended for, Anna. The prosecutor answered me angrily, saying that he had the authority to drag out the investigation another 30 days and would do so if I interfered in any way. Now I had to take the offensive. I sent Mario's notary a certified letter, and rather than saying I knew he didn't have the will, I played it just the opposite. I wrote, "I wonder if you, a friend of Mario Stefani, could be holding his signed will. Give me confirmation, and if you have it, file it immediately, because I am the lawyer of the person named in the will." 24 hours later, the notary called me and said, "I found it." "Do you believe he found it in the pages of a book?" I asked. "Or that he was hiding it for some reason?" That's not for me to believe one way or the other. I was interested only in protecting my client. The notary said to me, "I cannot register it yet because I must have various certified documents." I said, "Notary, tomorrow morning you will have them, and then you will, tomorrow morning, file them for me." Cristina Belloni's aggressiveness was startling and slightly off-putting. She confirmed what Minazzi had told me about the route the will took. Minazzi handed it to Bernardi, Bernardi gave it to Cristina Belloni, and then Cristina Belloni gave it back to Minazzi and asked him to publish it. "I got a certificate from the notary," she said. And, with that in hand, I went to the prosecutor and told him, "Now unseal everything immediately." He tried to delay a little, and after 48 hours, I got a court order for him to release Mario's house from sequestration. "How did the story get out that Anna was the heir?" I asked. "Nicola sells fruit and vegetables. He's a simple person, socially unsophisticated. He could have been hounded by the press, and he was frightened, so I made an agreement to keep his nomination secret, for a while at least, to permit him to absorb the shock. It takes about 20 days for the registration of a will to become public, and then anybody can see it." "Your secrecy plan seems to have made people more suspicious," I said. "The media have reported a lot of malicious things about Mario and Nicola, things that were not true. I advised Nicola not to respond, otherwise it would have gotten even worse. So we waited until the inventory of Mario's work was underway and the gift to the Querini Stampalia was arranged, and then he gave a press conference." "What about the speculation that Mario had been blackmailed, that he'd been hounded for money?" "I found out that Mario was being sued by some woman in Mestre who was demanding restitution for water damage coming from a leak in the apartment he owned above hers. It was a lot of money, and apparently he was very worried about it." "The accusations and suspicions have persisted," I said. "Yes, from Albert Gardin, who presents himself as Mario's publisher. I did research on him at the Chamber of Commerce. Gardin has had many careers in his life, but his publishing house doesn't exist. It has no address. There was a contract in 1991, but after that it closed. I became suspicious of him when he published a collection of Mario's poetry after he died without making any effort to contact Mario's heir. He sells books without a barcode, so there is no way of tracking the number of copies sold. He seems eager for publicity." "Do you think Nicola or any of his friends wrote those messages with the blue felt tip marker on Gardine's window?"
"Absolutely not."
"Who would have done it then?"
"Maybe Gardin did it himself."